Amen. Well, now we do come to a particularly joyful part of the ministry of the church, where we will be receiving. I know it says in your folder, reception of new members, Margaret and Victor Webb. I'd like to invite Margaret and Victor to come on up. We are not receiving new members, though. Margaret and Victor have been members of this church for as long as they have been alive. In fact, Victor, believe it or not, was baptized in this congregation. There was a time, I know it seems impossible, when Victor fit in this space. And it was possible to put water on his head. It would be almost impossible to do so now. But for me, obviously, this is a time when I'm going to struggle to keep it together so that I might be able to fulfill my duty as a minister of the Lord to these, my children. The session has met with Margaret and Victor. We have interviewed them, and we find them to have a credible profession of faith. And therefore, it has been their desire to come to the table and to be full members in this church. And so, therefore, I'm now going to address them. If I can, I'd like to ask the members of the session to come on up, because this isn't just me who's doing this. Margaret and Victor, you being here present to make a public profession of faith are to assent to the following declarations and promises by which you enter into a solemn covenant with God and His church. Margaret and Victor, do you confess that you are sinners in the sight of God, that you deserve His punishment, and that you are unable to save yourselves, and that you are without hope of salvation except for God's love and mercy? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and trust in Him alone for your salvation?
We do.
Do you accept the Bible comprised of the Old and New Testaments as the written Word of God, and that it is the only perfect rule of faith and how to live?
Yes.
Do you promise to trust in the guidance and strength of the Holy Spirit so that you can live all of life as a Christian, following the example set by Jesus Christ? Do you promise to exercise faithful stewardship of God's resources entrusted to you for the furtherance of God's kingdom and purposes?
I do.
Do you accept the doctrines and principles of the standards of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church are founded upon the Scriptures?
Yes.
Finally, in loving obedience, do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of this church, promising to seek the peace, purity, and prosperity of this congregation as long as you are a member of it? And it is my great joy as your father and the pastor to if I can I ask you to please give your testimonies briefly to the congregation? The girl should go first. That's okay.
I think that living as a pastor's kid is one of the easiest, yet hardest responsibilities given to a child. Right from the get-go, I was taught scripture and catechisms and the Ten Commandments, all when I was very young. I had throngs of Christian friends and mentors that I could go to if I needed spiritual help with anything as a Christian. I was rich with knowledge and guides for my faith. But I also knew that as a child, I was not only as a child of the covenant, but also of the pastor, if I sinned or did anything dishonoring my God and my family, that it would reflect on me and my father and every other person in this congregation that tried to guide me and like I was a lost sheep. So I put it to rest in my head that I wouldn't come to the table until I was just perfect enough. Until I was just perfect enough that no one would ever think badly of me. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And John 5:25 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." I think it took me years to understand that I can't just go about with the excuse that I was waiting to be perfect, because that would never happen. Why put aside something only meant for those who knew that they could never be perfect, but can attain salvation through him who is perfect. I feel as if it was a slow but steady realization that came over me, seeing the severity of the problem of me putting aside salvation just so that people wouldn't think badly of me. But I now know that I will forever be perfect, be a perfect sinner, still doing evil in the sight of God, but knowing I need to repent and believe to be forgiven of my horrible sins. Mm-hmm.
All right, Victor, would you give your testimony, please?
So, as my dad said, this is something I've been putting out for a while, which isn't interesting. But when I first began writing this, I'll say my own incompetence became clearer to me than it ever had. It also became clear how privileged I've been through my life. I was not only born into a family that worshiped God, I was born into a pastor's family. Not only was I born into a prosperous country, I was born into a country that accounts for nearly 30% of the world's wealth. I've been truly blessed by God, and I blinded myself to it. I put my trust in the power of kings and nations, as the Bible says. I grew used to the gospel, so much so I took it for granted. So when the question began to arise of me actually making a profession, I deflected and dodged. I didn't think it was necessary, and simply an added responsibility that I had no need for. Ashamed as I am to admit, what held me back was my own stubbornness and pride. I began to realize this as I talked to other Christians, and also when I tried to evangelize to other people. Who was I to talk about Christ when I, too, was running from Him? Hmm. And then came 2020, the year when almost every human plan went wrong, including many of my own. I suddenly got a quick lesson that human power was worthless before God. And suddenly, I realized how blind I had been to the weakness of the power I put my trust in. And I realized I was nothing without Christ. My own sin of omission became clear. I realized that for too long, I had taken the faith of my parents for granted. And I grew ashamed of how long I had denied Christ in order to extend my freedom from responsibility to God. I thank God that He finally opened my eyes, and that the only true freedom there is, that is, freedom in Christ and His trust and His power to save.
Amen.